This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, and he's going to tell us how all of this is going to turn out by this evening. Welcome to the show, Ron.
I'm reluctant to join the show if that's what I have to do. I'm going to hang up right now.
You're tapping out, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, look, No pressure, Ron. No pressure, no high expectations.
No pressure at all.
Do you recall, I was thinking this morning, you know, and I was like, I've got Ron coming on, and, you know, we've talked about this quite a lot, and I was just kind of curious. Do you ever remember a time it was actually this close in so many states?
No, you know, I really don't. I mean, the 2000 presidential election was very, very close, as we remember. George Bush won by 500 votes in Florida, and that gave him the state, that gave him the electoral vote majority. So that was a real close one. And I remember, you know, everybody having trouble going into it. So that was similar, but you weren't as focused on the swing states that we are now. You know, in those days it was like, well, you know, we're looking at the whole country, we're looking at the popular vote, we know there's going to be some close states, but this time it's really focused on seven specific states. And with that, it's turned this election into seven different elections. And you know, one election is enough, but when you've got seven elections, you know, the number of moving parts in any statewide election is enormous, particularly if it's a close race. And you've got that now times seven. So it just makes it very difficult to know where we are. And even though, you know, I'm reading polls and participating in polling work all the time, the polls can only do so much. And when you have a close race where you've got seven different states and you've got maybe seven or eight polls in each state, and some of them are conflicting with one another, it's you just can't predict it based on the polls anymore. All you can say is, you know, the polls are showing it's going to be close, unless there's some last-minute break that occurred this morning or last night or yesterday or the day before that the polls really didn't show. So you know, in terms of an honest assessment, I think that's really what it is. And, you know, I've told a lot of my family and friends over the last few weeks, you know, just stop worrying about who's going to win. Just let's wait and see who wins. And then go from there, because everybody has their vote. Hope everybody, you know, listening has either voted or on their way to vote. And there's a good voter turnout, but in terms of knowing what's going to happen, anticipating what's going to happen, it's very difficult this time.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I was looking at early voting in a number of the swing states, and let's just pull up Pennsylvania. Some states, and I don't know if our listening audience recognizes this, but some states you register and you vote by a party affiliation, right? And some states don't account for party affiliation at all. It's just a general number,
right.
Correct?
Right, correct.
Well, Pennsylvania is one of those swing states that separates it. So in 2020, they had about 1,800,000 early votes, Democratic early voters. This year, 1 million. Republicans in 2020 had somewhere around 750,000, maybe, or 800,000. This year, about 650,000. So down, and third parties are about half of what they were in 2020. It's going to be interesting because Pennsylvania is one of those states. They've got a lengthy ballot there, from what I'm told, and the lines are long, and it takes a long time. We've had people saying that it took them an hour to get through the ballot, which is, I can't even imagine what that's like, and it's unheard of. How does it play into this? What are your thoughts about this kind of scenario?
Well, you know, it opens the door for two things. Number one, obviously, it opens the door for a late count. You know, that it could take some time. And when I say sometimes, I mean days, not hours, to actually count the votes. Because one of the things in certain states is that you are able to mail in a ballot if it's mailed in by election day. You're able to mail in the ballot. Well, if it's mailed on election day, or even the day before, for that matter, it's unlikely that it's going to get to the official place where it has to go until several days after the election. And right. and in that particular case, it can't be counted on election night. And so we have to wait and see. But long ballots are big problems. It, you know, depending upon where the presidential race is on the ballot, usually it would be at the top. So some people, you know, might tend to go in and vote for the president, vote for the U.S. senator or something, and then get out and not go through the whole ballot. So then, you know, you've got a whole body of analysis there that's been looked at over the years about, you know, fall off, where, you know, in some places you have an enormous amount of fall off between the top of the ballot and the bottom of the ballot, where people just start getting tired and they leave and don't finish it. So all of these things are parts of these millions of little factors that go into any election, and it makes it, you know, it does leave the door open for a late count. It also leaves the door open for problems. And in a really close election, you know, if this election comes down to two or three or four swing states that are within, you know, just a few thousand votes of one another, which is certainly possible based on the polling. In fact, it would be likely that would happen. excuse me. Then that opens the door for recounts and election challenges. And we've seen that before. That can go on and on and on.
Yeah. It's amazing as I go through this. I think a lot of folks never believed that we would hit those pandemic numbers of mail-in votes because there were all kinds of accommodations made.
Right.
But there are some states that has happened. In fact, in North Carolina, which is a state that a lot of folks are watching, Republican early voting actually has increased over 2020, and Democratic early voting has fallen way short. I mean, way short by almost 500,000 votes. And interestingly, that unaffiliated, who those folks are, they outpace the 2020 numbers as well. And you're seeing that in a lot of states, that unaffiliated designation. If you would, for the benefit of the audience, talk to folks about what that means.
Yeah, well, first of all, a few things. it would stand the reason that there would be more Republicans voting early this time. And I say voting early either, you know, like we do in Louisiana, we go to a polling place, you know, a week or two before the election and we vote early, or by vote by mail. Because Donald Trump 4 years ago told his electorate, his supporters, not to vote early and not to vote by mail. And he said that if you do that, the chances of having the vote stolen are increased. So a lot of Republicans said, well, we're not going to vote early or vote by mail. We're going to go and vote on Election Day. But this time they changed that and said, you know, vote any way you can as soon as you can, which politically is the right thing to do. And so more Republicans relative to Democrats will be voting by mail early this time because of that political change. And so that makes sense, and we've seen something like that before.
Yeah. The most recent polls, there's been a couple of a little kind of leading or shift, some changes in momentum. Talk to us about your yesterday's edition of Lunchtime Politics.
Okay, well, we also have one from this morning, and it does show a few differences.
I missed that one.
Well, it came out real early, and I was doing it blurry-eyed. So, but anyway, the
I see it right here. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. The current national polling average. Some polls, and let me explain this first. Some polls would ask, you know, are you for Trump or Harris? And some polls will ask, well, are you for Trump, Harris, Jill Stein, Cornel West, the Libertarian candidate, whatever it may be. So I look at it both in terms of the two-way trial heat and also the multi-candidate trial heat to see if there's any difference. And there usually is some difference. But anyway, what we have this morning is, you know, this is the nationwide popular vote, which, while it's interesting, is not the determinative factor in who wins the election. But anyway, it shows Harris over Trump 1.2% in the two-way trial heat and Harris over Trump 1.4% in the multi-candidate trial heat. And but interestingly, it shows that Harris in the two-way trial heat went from 0.3 lead yesterday to a 1.2% lead today. And in the multi-candidate trial heat, she went from a 0.6 lead yesterday to 1.4% lead today, which is an indication that Harris, over the last 24 hours, in terms of the new polls that came in, was doing a little better this morning than she did yesterday. Now, generally speaking, she has had a lead in the popular vote, an average lead in the popular vote for some months now, ever since the Democratic convention. And her current lead in the popular vote is really no greater, roughly speaking, than it was a month ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago. But if you're looking for any slight flicker or fluctuation between yesterday or the day before and today, it indicates that she's widened a very, very narrow lead a little bit. But when you go to the swing states, Trump at this point has a lead in 5 of the 7 swing states. Now, that lead is as narrow as 0.2 in Pennsylvania, for example, 0.6 in Georgia, 0.6 in Nevada, 0.8 in North Carolina. And his lead, the only place where his lead is more meaningful is in Arizona, where it's 2.5%. Now, Harris, it shows leading by slightly less than 1 point in Michigan, slightly less than 1 point in Wisconsin. So when you look at this, you know, it's still on the knife's edge. Trump is in position to win enough electoral votes from these swing states to win the election, and so is Harris, because, you know, when you've got a 6/10 of a point lead or a 9/10 of a point lead or 2/10 of a point lead, you know, that's so far into the polls' margin of error, you know, it could go either way. So the bottom line is, you know, if you're going to bet on the nationwide popular vote, probably the safest bet, the most likely bet, would have been for some time now that Harris would win the nationwide popular vote, just like Hillary Clinton won in 2016. She won the nationwide popular vote. But in terms of the state by state, you know, I mean, you can bet all you want, but I certainly wouldn't bet my house or my car or anything more than maybe a nickel one way or another on who would win those states.
Yeah, you know, Arizona's a kind of interesting because you recall all the hoopla around calling Arizona. We had
right.
Chris Starwalt and others lost their job at Fox for calling it, and they actually ended up calling it right. Biden had 49.3% of the vote in 2020, and Trump had 49.06% of the vote. So when you look at a 2.5% separation, that's like, based on history, that's huge.
You know? Sure. Yeah, and that's really the only state out of the seven where you've got a margin over a point. You know, everything else is in fractions of points. And fractions of points, you know, from a pollster standpoint, you know, looking at the polls, looking at the averages, you know, those numbers are meaningless as predictors. The only thing they predict is it's likely to be a pretty close election in these states.
You know, the other day you and I talked about this most recent poll in Iowa. This morning has Trump over Harris plus 5. Trump won over Biden about plus 8 in 2020. Has all of that settled down in the past couple of days as it relates to that poll that showed Harris ahead?
Well, you know, it really hasn't settled down. That poll had probably a bigger impact on people's mindset than any specific poll that we've seen in some time. And just to recap what happened, as you said, Trump has carried Iowa. You know, the last two times he ran for president, he carried it by about 8 points, which means he had a comfortable lead. And the poll showed he had a comfortable lead going into the last weekend. And then the Des Moines Register poll, which is well respected, they're not perfect, even though people call it the gold standard. They can get it wrong, or they can be off just like anything else. But they showed that Trump's lead was erased, and that all of a sudden Harris was ahead by 3 points. Which, if that's true, is a big signal that things are moving to her. And when that happened, it's joy the Democrats, the Republicans didn't know what was going on. And I can report that since that poll was taken, you've had three other polls that were taken subsequent to that. So the three other polls that were taken are more recent than the Des Moines, Iowa poll. And those three polls show Trump ahead by plus 6, by plus 8, and by plus 9. So when you average those out with the poll that showed Harris ahead, you've got Trump averaging a 5-point lead at this stage. So a five point lead compared to these other states that we count as swing states now looks like a pretty healthy lead. But
that's a landslide.
Now, yeah, right. but now people are wondering. Well, you know, the Des Moines Register poll 4 years ago was showing Trump ahead by 7 points in Iowa, and he won by 8. So that's a good poll, you know, that comes that close. And at that point, other polls were showing Trump was only about maybe 2 or 3 points ahead. So the Des Moines Register poll did better than the other polls did right before the election. If it does so again, it's an indication of a move towards Harris. Although when you look at all the polls, it doesn't show that. You know, for instance, I was watching CNN as recently as this morning, and they said, you know, the latest Des Moines Register poll in Iowa shows Harris ahead in a state that Trump carried, but they didn't mention the other three polls, which were taken since the Des Moines Register poll, which means they would be even more relevant, you know, because the closer you get to Election Day, presumably the more accurate a poll would be, because it's capturing what, you know, the more of the events going right up to the election. So everybody's waiting to see what happens there, because you've got, you know, the Des Moines Register poll hanging out saying, you know, Harris is leading, and these other three polls are hanging out there saying Trump's got a meaningful lead in the state. So we'll see.
It's interesting. You kind of have to wonder, because Democratic early voting in Iowa was by numbers interesting here, about the same as unaffiliated. Unaffiliated is greater than the number in 2020. Republicans fall way short of where they were in 2020 in early voting, probably somewhere around 130,000. Democrats are about 230,000, and the same for unaffiliated, which is kind of, it may be indicative of these big swings that we're seeing in some of these polls.
Sure.
Because of that unaffiliated number, beating 2020 numbers, and then third party about the same, which is almost statistically insignificant what that number is. But sure. Kind of makes you wonder, you know, when you begin to look at the voter turnout in early voting and how it plays out. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. If you have a question, send us a text or give us a call at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, let's talk a little bit about the down ballot races. And if you would briefly describe why this is important. If you have a Democrat in the presidency how this plays out with control of the Senate or the House or vice versa, Republican. I don't think a lot of folks really recognize the difference in governance style depending on how the Senate turns out and how the House turns out.
You're 100% right about that. The you know, politics have become so polarized by party, and there are so few people in the center of Congress now that the ability of either party to control each chamber becomes that much more important, more so than it had been some years ago. Currently, we have a Senate that where the Democrats have a one-seat majority. I think it's likely the Democrats will lose that one-seat majority today. There are at least two, as many as four or five Democratic Senate seats that are in trouble, and in particular three in West Virginia, Ohio, and Montana, that the odds are that they will flip from Democrat to Republican. So what that does is that it will likely give the Republicans control of the chamber. Now, if Trump, and of course on the House side, it's important, and it's particularly important for Louisiana, because Louisiana right now has both the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader of the House from our state, which is something that never really happens for any state. And the House is very, very close. The Republicans just have a few seat majority. And it's very possible. I'm not saying it'll happen because you've got a lot of really close House races right now. But it's very possible that the Republicans could lose their House majority to the Democrats, which means, you know, both the House and the Senate would flip. You know, the Senate would go from Democrat to Republican, and the House would go from Republican to Democrat. You've got five Republican House seats in California that are in trouble. You've got five House seats in New York State that could go either way. And you've got five House seats between Pennsylvania and Michigan that are toss-ups, as well as other ones around the country. But in just those states, you've got 15 seats on the block there. So anyway, in terms of governing, if Harris is president and she has a Democratic House and Senate, then that certainly limits her ability to get anything done legislatively.
You mean a Republican, and the same thing, a Republican House and Senate, yeah.
Right, exactly. And of course, the same thing would apply to Trump. If he's elected president and he's got a Democratic House and a Senate, it limits his ability to get things done. And so then, you know, their whole strategies, governing strategies, have to change. Now, because, you know, things have to pass both the House and the Senate, and then the president gets to sign it or veto it. Now, you've got the added wrinkle that if, for instance, you know, the Senate ends up 50-50 in tonight's elections, well, whoever is elected vice president gets to break the tie, which is the way it had been before when in Harris's first 2 years as vice president. So, but the big thing, and I'm going to stop right here because this can go on and on, but the big thing is that we don't know what's going to happen. Is if one party gets everything, meaning the House and the Senate and the presidency, there's going to be an enormous amount of pressure on the leaders of that party in the Senate to bust the filibuster. And, you know, the filibuster is the rule that requires 60 votes to pass something in the Senate instead of a simple majority. And the filibuster has already been carved out some with appointees and judicial nominations, that sort of thing. But there will be an enormous amount of pressure. Say if Trump wins and the Republicans win the House and the Senate, which is all still possible, for the Republicans to go into the Senate and say, nope, We're not going to follow the filibuster again. We're just going to break it. And that way, all they need is a simple majority to get things done and to get it to the president's desk, and then they can do whatever they want. And the same thing would happen on the Democratic side. In fact, Kamala Harris has already said that that if she's elected president and they're close in the House and the Senate, that they will work to break the filibuster as it relates to the abortion issue, so that you could pass abortion legislation without a 60-vote majority in the Senate. You could do it with a 51-vote majority. And once you start breaking the filibuster down based on issues, then it's all over with. And then that gives the governing party a tremendous amount of power at that point. So will the new president be blocked in the House and the Senate, or will the new president have free reign in the House or the Senate? That's a big question that has to be decided tonight.
The games continue for sure, right?
And they do.
Breaking the filibuster is really short term thinking. It will come back to haunt you. In some way, shape, or form.
Well, of course, because, you know, everybody gets their turn in the barrel on the filibuster, you know. And Harry Reid, the Democratic Senate leader, originally, you know, exempted some judgeships. And then Mitch McConnell came down, and when he became majority leader, and they exempted Supreme Court appointments. And now I think the filibuster on other issues is hanging by a thread. Now, if you've got a divided government where you have, a president of one party and a Congress of another, or a president of one party and a split Congress, well, there may be less pressure to do that because they still can't get what they need out the other chamber. So there would be less pressure there, But if you've got one party winning everything, and we've got some really close Senate races and really close House races and a really close presidential race, then you could have a legislative revolution where they pretty much do what they want.
You know, it's interesting about people that have decided to register unaffiliated. When you look at historical polls, by those folks, they like split government, don't they?
Well, many of them do. And many of them say, well, if I'm going to vote for Trump for president, I want to vote for a Democrat to moderate it or vice versa. And there are many voters who do that. But, you know, you raised this thing about independent voters and the turnout of a little while ago. And I just wanted to say, you know, even though the political parties are fixated now on their political base, they cater to their political base. That's all they seem to worry about during a 2-year, 4-year term. But in the end, they always have to come back to the independent voters. You know, the independent voters elected Donald Trump in 2016. The independent voters elected Joe Biden in 2020. Biden. And they're going to elect the president tonight. So that's why independents become very, very important. And when you're reading these numbers showing a higher turnout of independent voters, that's really significant because independents tend to vote less than the partisans do. They're less committed on ideology or partisanship. So it's harder to get them to go vote. They tend to be more cross-pressured, more undecided. Whatever, you know, they don't have a home team in the race. So that's really something to watch for. And one of the things that a few of the polls have shown is that women independent voters in some polling, not everything, but in some polling, seem to be moving more to Harris in the last few days of this election. So we'll see if that makes a difference.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. When we come back, got a number of texts wanting to know your thoughts about the Senator Ted Cruz and Colin Allred race in Texas. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Let's talk about Texas, Ron, but I wanted to point out in 2020, there were 11.3 million votes cast in Texas. Already early voting in Texas this year, just under 8.6 million votes cast already. These numbers are incredible.
That is incredible, you know, and it shows how high the interest is in this election. I've never really seen an election where there was this much emotional feeling around it, around for and against the candidates, and it's just been incredible. It really has been.
So let's talk about the Ted Cruz race and Colin Allred, the Democrat, your most, recent Lunchtime Politics has it a greater than a 3-point spread for Ted Cruz.
Yeah, you know, Texas has been a one-party Republican state in terms of statewide elections for a while now. And you know, there's a big conservative vote in Texas, but there's also a significant number of Hispanic voters who often vote Democratic and African-American voters who vote Democratic and increasingly younger voters and women in suburbs who are voting more Democratic than they did some time ago. So the Democrats keep, you know, they see what a lot of people call the blue mirage, that, they get into a statewide race in Texas. It looks like they have a real chance to win it for the first time in a long, long time. But ultimately, it's hard. And it's hard because even though somebody like Ted Cruz, who is not particularly popular, by the way, on the part of the people of Texas, when the decision gets down to a Democrat or a Republican, you know, a liberal Democrat versus a conservative Republican, the state still tends to move towards the Democratic side. And this fellow, Colin Allred, who is the Democratic candidate's a very good candidate, and he's narrowed the gap, and so a lot of Democrats have some hope. And I think what Democrats, in even though the polls continue to show, as you pointed out, that Cruz has maintained a 3-5 point lead through most of the election. But one thing the Democrats think will happen, and it could in some places, is there could be a groundswell of white women who ordinarily might be independents or who might be voting for moderate or conservative candidates, maybe moving to the Democratic side right now. It wouldn't take much of that to flip this election to Harris. But that's what they're counting on, and I think they're counting on that in Texas, too. And when you see these big numbers coming out in the early vote, it encourages something like that because it shows there's movement, there's something happening. And so we'll have to see. I mean, as it stands now, you know, Trump should win Texas. The polls all show he's winning Texas, and he should be able to get a big enough Republican turnout to bring Cruz in with him, although Democrats are still hoping that won't happen, although that's the more likely scenario right now.
Ron, briefly talk about the impact that you think there may be. 10 states have abortion and reproductive rights on the ballot in November: Colorado, Florida, Nevada, New York, South Dakota, Maryland, Arizona, Missouri, Nebraska, and Montana. Obviously very divisive issue in this country. It seems as though some states had a desire to put it on the ballot to try and increase their party's turnout.
Right. And Democratic groups have been working with pro-choice, pro-abortion rights groups all year to put abortion measures on the ballot. because they feel like it doesn't increase it does increase Democratic turnout, and that's one of the best issues they feel they have. It's an issue that is not only has some political strength in clear blue states, but it has political strength in some red states and some states somewhere in between. So again, Democrats say, now, of the list you read, there's only a few of those states are swing states, but they are counting on those states to make a difference, and that and for the abortion issue to make a difference for them. So, you know, again, we have to see, and again, you know, that relates to the whole thing. You know, will there be a groundswell of support among, black women based on polling are solidly for Harris. So the question is, will white women move more to the Democratic side? And the abortion issue is fueling a lot of that. And that's one of the things the Democrats are really hoping for. There's some indication here or there in polling that could happen, but it's not clear. And so, again, that's one of the critical questions that will be answered tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that impact. I was just looking at Florida early voting. Same thing, about 11 million votes cast in 2020, 5.3 million cast here. The Democrats falling way short of the 2020 numbers, and the Republicans outperformed their 2020 number, roughly about 3.7 million folks turning out to vote, and unaffiliated falling short of their 2020 number as well. I know you got a long night. We'll have a long night. It'll be interesting to see. I think you and I are scheduled to talk tomorrow as well. Look forward to that. Maybe we'll have a better feel for who's going to win, and maybe tomorrow you can tell us what's going to happen.
Well, one thing I've learned over time is it's better to predict the elections the day after, you know, on Wednesday. So but now it's getting to a point.
You're a smart man, Charlie Brown. Yeah, we probably won't know by Saturday, because we keep hearing, like, you know, Maricopa County is now in Arizona saying we're not going to know where our votes come out till maybe Friday, if we're lucky. That's kind of scary. So here we are, 2020 all over again. Ron, thank you so much. I know you're really busy. We really appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right, that's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We will check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about the election. Today is election day in America. Very, very special day. Went out. Very proud to vote earlier today. Did not take me much time at all. And we'll talk about voting experiences around the city. And hopefully everybody is getting out and voting.
Absolutely. Scoot's up next. Headed your way, folks. Don't forget, get out and vote. And tune in tonight from 8 to 12. Dave Cohen, myself, we will be working on election coverage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES, or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.